want to talk some more about counting of the Omer. There's so much that I've studied that I've never talked about to anybody. But let's get a little bit. Let's get a frame of reference. Leviticus 23. I turned right there. That's how about that? I just opened my Bible and went right there.
Did you have a bookmark there?
No.
I turned my palm power.
I got it. I don't even want to know what those things do. I don't even want to look at it. I don't want to see it. It's something that shouldn't exist.
23.
Okay. Remember this. We got to keep all this in mind, because the only important days to God, therefore the only important days to us, should be what are called the set times of the Lord. And the word set times is the word that's translated feast in the New Testament, in the King James. What are the feasts? It's the Feast of Hanukkah. On the eighth day of the Feast of Hanukkah, the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and conceived Christ on the eighth day of the Feast of Hanukkah. On the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, which is a Jewish New Year, Christ was born. Remember, the Feast of Hanukkah is called the Feast of Lights, or the Feast of Dedication. It's called the Feast of Lights in the New Testament, or the Feast of Light. So he was conceived by the Holy Spirit on the Feast of Light. He was born on the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, because now it's a new thing. He was baptized on the Feast of Yom Kippur, which is what? Day of Atonement. That's when he fulfilled all righteousness on the Day of Atonement. He was transfigured, and he also turned the water into wine on the Feast of Tabernacles. He was crucified on the Feast of Passover. He was buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The only time in history that the Sabbath has been kept perfectly, he kept in the grave. He rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits. Now that all of that doesn't do any of us any good. That's why the next feast is the Feast of Pentecost, in which the seed of Christ was shed on all flesh. So now that's why the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Passover, they're tied together by the counting of the Omer. Now, you don't accept Jesus as your personal Savior. That's never in the Scriptures. It says, where they get that, it says, to them that received Him, He gave them the power to become the sons of God. And it says, the gospel has been preached unto every creature under heaven. A mystical thing happened on Passover, not just to the 120, I mean on Pentecost, not just to the 120, it happened to all of humanity. But that seed, that germ of His life, was now shed on all flesh. I don't care if you're in the darkest Africa. I don't care if you call yourself a Muslim or a Christian or a Buddha. It doesn't matter what you call yourself. The issue is, have you fallen into the ground and died to your own issues? Then His life is revealed. The idea that no man cometh to the Father but by Him isn't a moral option, it's an eternal fact. He is the way, the truth, the life. All that doesn't do you any good unless there has been a Feast of Pentecost. That's why in the ancient times in the type, they counted the Omer so carefully. If you missed the count, then you couldn't celebrate. So what was happening in those 49 days? There was an emptying, a deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper humility. For 40 of those 50 days, Christ was walking with the disciples. On the 40th day, he was transfigured, or he went to the, wasn't transfigured, he went to the Father on the feast of what's called, it's this weird feast that nobody understands, but it's called Lag Bar Omer. And it's a remnant of it is in all of these old Germanic cultures where they used to shoot arrows up in the air to get the devils, and you know, nobody, and it's a long, let's know, we'll get there later.
Make sure the troubling spirit didn't come back.
Right. But the point of this is, that's why I've always said that the human race is like the pecans. These dirty trees in the back here. Christ was the first pecan. He was a perfect pecan. He fell into the ground and died, and a companion tree arose. The day of Pentecost, that tree, if you will, was shaken, and so now the germ of life that was in the original pecan has become a tree. The tree was shaken. Now the whole ground is full of pecans. Pecans everywhere. And everybody's running around trying to fix themselves. You know, and they label themselves and figure out who they are. I'm a Baptist pecan. I'm a Christian pecan. I'm a Buddhist pecan. I'm a male pecan. I'm a female pecan. None of that means anything. There are no labels. There's no modifiers to I am. The only thing Jesus said, except you fall into the ground and die, you'll abide alone. But if you die, you bear much fruit. So the empowerment for everything comes on Pentecost because he is it's the place, the same thing the Holy Spirit did to Mary on the Feast of Hanukkah, now the Holy Spirit did to the entire human race on Pentecost. That's why John said, he is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. But men love the darkness more than they love the light. They love the darkness because in the darkness or the twilight there's comparison. And you can continue in the illusion. You can continue to show yourself that you are God because you've set yourself up, the illegal one, has set himself up in you, the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. But by the grace of God, we have exposed that man of sin, that son of perdition, that Antichrist, that Jezaniah, and it's us. Who would have thought it? Who would have thunk it? I have never seen that written in any place. I've never heard it taught on. I've never seen it written anywhere. But I know it. That I know it more than I know anything else in the universe. That the human race is the Antichrist. But the good news is that if you lose, if you fail, if you come to the end of yourself, if you're broken through failure and heartache, then you can abandon yourself and his life can shoot forth. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Whatsoever is a gain to me is a loss to Christ. You got it? I remember we went through this years and years with Gary. Gary kept wanting to have the time to study as much as I did so that he, in his mind, would know the scriptures as well as I did. Well, it never dawned on him until recently, and I kept telling him, Gary, whatsoever is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. How could gaining knowledge of the Bible be a loss to Christ? Well, it's simple. Does everybody understand me? That's why we don't say who's saved or who's not saved. Because that seed of Christ has been shed on all flesh. He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. But all of it, the mystery of Pentecost, or the tide of Passover to Pentecost, is so total, so complete. That's why on the Feast of Pentecost we read the book of Ruth. everything we're doing now is to get ready for this next Megillah, which is, we are supposed to, did everybody read, I'm out of it, so did everybody read the Song of Solomon yet? Okay, the Song of Solomon is supposed to be read on the intervening Sabbath during the 8 days of the Feast of Passover. So we have first the book of Esther, Pearl. The word, the name of God is not mentioned once in that book, but it shows God's hidden work in your life before you ever even dreamed of knowing it. Then we have, then you fail. You screw up so bad you don't even know which way is up. And you finally stop, you know, how many thousands of obstacles he's put in your path over your lifetime, but so you'd stop and inquire of him, but you obstinately and determinedly, thinking that it's a good thing, you force yourself onward. And finally then, when everything fails, you end up here. And that's a good thing from God's perspective. Because now, for the first time, you can understand Passover. And then you are, once that happens, then you are betrothed to him. You have no other love, you have no other life, you have no other purpose. Your function from this point to the rest of your life is that you are betrothed to him. That betrothal is celebrated by the reading of the second Megillah, which is the Song of Solomon. Now, the counting of the Omer is to prepare us to read the third Megillah, which is the Book of Ruth. And the Book of Ruth is, the whole essence of the Book of Ruth is redemption. Remember, the right of kinship. Remember, Ruth wanted to marry Boaz, but there was one who was closer to her, to her former husband, and he had the right of first redemption. Now, so everything we're doing now is to prepare us for that one who has the right of second redemption. That means we stop in trying to improve ourselves. We stop trying to fix anything. We stop trying to self-realize in any way. Because any attempt towards self-realization is that we're trying to make ourselves acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption, which is the God of this world. Hallelujah. That we know and we've seen through that deception. The deception by which he has deceived the entire world. Who could think that self-realization was wrong? Finally then, so everything we're doing in the counting of the Omer, going through these 49 gates of impurity, I've mentioned several of the things this morning, several of these gates. It's something that you think is good. And even I've studied 5 years off and on, I've studied everything I could find on the gates, the 49 gates, and it's all bullshit. Because they hear from the Zohar that it's the 49 gates of impurity, and their mind goes, impurity, aha, bad stuff. Been deceived again. Can you see his subtlety? The subtlety is always pointed towards self-realization. All of this is going on. The counting of the Omer, whether we know it or not, the Omer is being counted. Our only job is to empty. Blessed are the poor in spirit, or the empty in spirit. For what? I forgot. I can't believe I forgot. Let me read it so we don't have to guess. Four is empty. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In fact, I won't go there.
You know, everything you just said in the last 2 or 3 minutes, just all I could see and think about from here was Job as the archetype, Job's friends getting him invited. It's all the things that everybody wanted Job to do to move from the place of emptiness.
Right.
So going through the 49 gates is the reverse of the process. It's the laying down of all the things that everybody was trying to get Job to do to fill himself up and become something other than it.
Just think of the counselors that you've had. That they make Job's counselors look nice. I mean, from God's perspective. The counselors of your parents and your relatives all telling you how you need to succeed, how you need to be responsible, how you need to... I just had a flash I remember a conversation I had with Bojo's brother. He would have made a good counselor to Job.
Isn't the serpent always referred to as the evil counselor, the greedy counselor?
But it's not. I mean, I should have picked up Bojo's brother. Well, maybe, but his name is Bojo, so I probably should have picked him. Except I can't pick on Carolyn. Because that'll be self-defeating if I pick him. You know, that'll be, I would pay bad. It's like picking on, I can't pick on Joyce Santa either. Two people I can't pick on.
There are other reasons you can't pick on Joyce Santa.
Huh? Well, she'll fire me.
She's not afraid of you.
I know. That really pisses me off. No, it doesn't.
You're pissing her off now.
But do you understand this? You've got to get a hold of this. You can't just see this in pieces. You've got to see the totality of the full gospel into which we've been delivered. Once you understand it, once you've apprehended it, once it's apprehended you, then you can't be deceived anymore. Anybody have any questions or anybody want to expand on the tale of what I've said so far? We haven't even started what I wanted to study yet. This is the introduction.
Well, fortunately, you have another 6 weeks.
You should have a shorter intro.
What?
You should have a shorter intro.
I was thinking about the counting of the elements of impurity versus purity concept. Something like that. And that's like you take the one path of the mind concept of it, trying to get rid of your personal faults and purify yourself, versus the other way.
That's called the Glenn Evans way, right there.
Glenn Evans. Or you go the other way, where you see correctly who you are.
I see myself and I loathe myself, but I repent and ask, sackcloth and ashes.
And you go through 49 gates of that, you end up in two completely different places.
Right.
And if east from west. And if you see that, then you don't even want to go through one of those other gates. Because you're going the wrong way.
No, it's like, most of you know who Gary Richardson is. He's a very wealthy attorney who owes us $350,000 or something like that. But anyway, he's running for governor in Oklahoma. And he's probably going to win. But he emails everybody. He's got a whole list of people that he emails to. And then he's got this small list of 18 people around the country that he trusts that are his intimate circle. And I happen to be one of his intimate circles. And so he emailed, and he had a dream. But I'm prominent in the dream. And it's the dream, and then he interpreted his own dream. And he said, oh, God's got a wonderful plan for your life, and he's set you up for this purpose. You're going to be a witness for the nations.
Governor for Jesus.
And I don't have a heart to tell him that he has got the dream exactly opposite. So I decided I was not going to do anything about it. So just before their system went down, I got two emails within 2 hours from him asking him for my reading of his interpretation of the dream. But it's the idea that the greedy counselor is telling him, just like he's telling you, that you should be something, anything.
What did you write back to him?
I haven't written back yet.
Well, we'll never get the standard grammar.
Here's the routing number.
open to me an opening no bigger than the eye of a needle, and I will open to thee the supernal gates of heaven. Open to me, my sister, my love, because thou art the door to which there is entrance to me. If thou openest not, I am closed. This it was when God slew the firstborn in Egypt. At that very time, the bride entered into the covenant of the holy sign, and each linked themselves to the community of the true Israel by means of the blood displayed in the door, the blood of the lamb and the blood of the circumcision to show their faith. And we all know that they were just types of Christ. What the hell was that?
Eyes settling.
So I was being attacked.
By eyes.
I don't feel good. Can we quit? Did I give you enough of an introduction to standing on the tail? I mean, you gotta have it be you, not just you know about it or something. You know what I mean?
Then you gotta think of how this is, you know, by what you said this morning, we're all brought into the certainty of the knowledge of Him in us and the whole.
Amen.
And then the minute you say take a big guy, the world starts its work on you. And everything that we're gonna do today is gonna draw us away from that position and convince us.
And it's the same whether you're a Levite or in business or whatever you're doing. The test is the same. But He has overcome it all. All you have to do is continue with Him in His test. See that everything you go through is His test, not yours. Remember the pecan.
Over all these years, there have been things that you've said. Some at the time you haven't even been foregrounded, but later they come back. There's one right now that I just never, ever can get away from. You said one night that the book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible, the first book. And you never get away from it. And again this morning it's shown to me that it's the archetype.
Yeah. It's an amazing book.
It is an amazing book. So somebody who's approved of by God goes through hell.
And it's funny that if you listen, I heard it last night again. Do you know that they that damn praise-a-thon or whatever it is on CBN is going on 24 hours a day. Every time I turn on television on, there's Avanzini or somebody. But they're doing the same thing. They are taking the evil counselor's words from the book of Job and applying them to why you should give them money. That's the same, that was Tilton's big thing. Hi. But that blows my mind. I mean, it's so obvious. There's the evil counselors, Jake, whoever they are, and they're giving Job all the bad advice, and they are quoting that as scripture. This is directly from God to you on why you should make a vow of $2,000 and send the tithe of that $2,000, which is $200, in tonight.
Y'all got to listen.
Yeah. If you want $200,000, you tie $20,000.
If we go by what you can afford, we're gonna have to shut it down.
Don't listen to that cult of poverty. Those poverty people.
The anti-prosperity
cult.
You don't have to check it out.
I'd like to. Why won't one of these guys debate me? Why not?
You can't preach the gospel if you're poor.
We have every 60 Minutes, Dateline, and Primetime Live, and Inside Edition have all asked several of these guys to debate me on national television. Not one of them will do it. Please, don't be deceived by that deception. We have all things. We own all things. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. He leadeth me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the waters of quietness. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, not for mine. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear nothing, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, the things I don't like, they really comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did I leave anything out? You don't know. You don't memorize it.
Yes, I do.
Did you memorize it?
A couple things my father made me do, and that was one.
That was a good thing.
And the first song.
All righty. I must say something every day to offend Angela. She just gets up and walks out. Anybody else? Tom?
It's totally unimportant. I woke up early a couple of nights ago, and I wasn't getting back to sleep, so I thought I'd turn CNN on. And in the process of getting there, I ran across one of the religious channels. I don't know which one it was. Mike Murdoch was on. So I can remember seeing, when I used to be at what's his name, or 70 Grand, down there, over where Potter's house is now. And I realized that there's a whole subculture that the resumes aren't available, but that the associate pastors of these top-level dudes are picked based on who's raising the most money, which is why you see these guys trying so hard. So they're going to work for W. Grant, and they're going to take a step up, work for some money, they're going to make the big time, work for Benny Hinn. And I just, I'd play a little game where I was continuing to look at CNN and listen to the news, and every time I change the channel, I'd go back and check what's going on. Didn't go back once, and he wasn't talking about sending money in. Not once, and 5 or 6 times. Anyway, I was just thinking about that. So.
And Murdoch was doing, he was the key fundraiser for Daystar Television Network, Joni and what's his name, Marcus Lamb Network.
You work at Haven Convention
Center?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, guys, please don't forget it. Take it, big guy.